Welcome, everyone. This is Pulling on Heaven 24/7, our podcast. And you know what? I pray that God would open your heart and your mind today to show you a prophetic vision, open a lens in your mind just to sense, to know, to be aware something really great is going to happen to you today. There's no time to delay. And God is so great. And if he's so great, and he is, and he's so greatly with you, and he is, then something great has to happen. Set your heart, your faith, and your mind right there and believe the Lord for the very best, even beyond what you would know to ask or think, as the scriptures tell us. So welcome. We're going to get right into the word today, and I pray that God shows you something in what we're about to share that will just transform your life and not only bless you, but make you a blessing again and again and again. Steve, hi, welcome.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me here today.
Doing great, you?
Oh, fantastic. It's always great to
Something great's going to happen.
It is going to happen. Yeah. We're going to believe that by faith as I launch into whatever we're going to talk about.
Well, always love it. Always excited about what will happen because this isn't the normal case scenario where I sit here with my iPad and I've really thought over what God has revealed to me, and I get up and I preach, which I love to do. But this is a little different because I sit here not really knowing what the producers of the show have put together, and so it's fresh and exciting to me, and I have to really rely on what God has shown and what God will say now. And it's always a joy, as you know. Always enjoy sitting across the table from you and dialoguing about the things of God. So,
And as I say so many times, your ministry and the word that God's given you to preach about freedom and our freedom from sin, our freedom from Satan, and the identity we get to walk in as a believer, has so radically changed my life, my family's life, and I'm just so thankful for it. And I think about, so much times, when you try to share this message of what God and what his victory on the cross has done for us, you end up, surprisingly meeting a lot of resistance. And we've talked about it too. When I first learned your message, I was so caught up in the world of spiritual warfare and everything like that, that it was, I don't know that I was resistant to it, but I couldn't embrace it because I had so many questions that were resisting within me. Yeah. And I was thinking about that recently, and the thought that, like, I think one of the reasons that something that should be so refreshing and so full of joy to us, is something that, from the youngest age, we train up our children as we look at the Bible, I think, in a lot of ways to see the world in a way very different than the way God intended us to. And we look at all the great Bible stories, and whether that's Joseph being thrown in the pit by his brothers and going into Pharaoh's court, or it's David versus Goliath, or it's Esther having to save her people from Haman, or all these stories, they're great, and they exalt God, and our children learn them, and we look at it from these perspectives. But I think at the end of the day, it's still painting this picture that we live in a world of good versus evil. And so I think people by default, from largely a Christian expression of things, we paint that there's God on the one hand, and then there's God's direct enemy, his equal guy that he's fighting against, the devil, on the other. And that's so ingrained into us, even from the stories of our youth, that are kind of misdirected and misplaced in how we appropriate them, that it becomes so hard, I think, a lot of times to wrap our heads around that's not even what the model that how reality really functions in the first place, is it?
Well, I don't see it that way at all. No, I'd like to go back to what I refer is to the genesis of time. What was God's intentions when he created man? What were God's intentions when he created the earth? And his intentions were to do what he did. He created it and he blessed. And I remember, same as you talked about, in Sunday school and being raised, from my youth in church, that I remember feeling this presence of good versus evil all the time. I mean, and I think probably a lot of people that are watching today will go, of course, that's what it is. But the framework of that is kind of like trying to put a square frame around a round glass. Mm-hmm. That's not really the dimensions of the world that God intended. And if he intended it differently, then it can be different. And it really isn't about, there is a lot of good versus evil,
There's evil people. There's evil that exists in the world in a context. Yeah.
But how are we supposed to look? Because according to our faith, be it unto us. There are people that are believing things and have believed God for certain things, express their faith, walk the walk of faith, and are living a different life than someone in the same position that doubted, that just didn't believe. Mm-hmm. Two different worlds. And they both could be living a similar, really good, great, positive outcome if they both believed the right way. And there is a right way and a wrong way to believe. So good versus evil. I mean, this is what God revealed to me a long time ago. He said, I'm God. Jesus said, they asked Jesus one time, what's the most important thing? And God spoke to me one time, and he said, I'm God, and there isn't any other God. I'm God. And worship me, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I say that all the time. It means a lot to me. It changed my world. It changed the dimensions, the dynamics of my life, my perspective, because there was a point where God showed me that he was the Lord of my life and that doing good didn't mean that I was summoning an evil response from the devil, that doing good, meaning believing God well, was going to compensate me with believing well and not with a battle from the devil. In other words, believing well wasn't a flare, you know, in the sky for, you know, all these oppressive spirits to come down and attack me. But I did believe that at one point in time. And yeah. When I did believe that, I did experience that. And it came from, like you were talking about, what I'd learned in Sunday school, what I'd learned as a youth, from well-meaning people that were taught the same thing. There's good versus evil. But God showed me that according to my faith, be it unto me. And if I believed 23rd Psalm, only goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, certainly didn't mean there wouldn't be trials and trying times, because trust me, I've had them just like anyone else. But the world that wraps around all those experiences for me is different, because I believe God and only God is God, and that no evil has anything to say about who I am or what I do. Even if it looks like evil happens, no evil can really happen to me, because God is going to take and shape, carve, mold, master every event in a believer's life to match his will and purpose. And that can only be good. If God does it, it's going to turn out to be good. So I don't see a world of good versus evil. And someone may look and go, wow, what rock did you just crawl out from under? And listen, again, I get it. I don't listen to all the news, because my news is the Word of God. I read the news every day, and it's the good news, because I can't shape my perspective of the future based on a good and evil outcome. I have to believe God is good, and only God is good, and only God is God, and everything else is a misdirection of doubt and unbelief. And if we come back to the point of faith and soundness in the Word of God, things just turn out a lot different. So I don't see a world of bad versus evil. There's only one God. The devil is not God. He's not my God. I don't deny his existence. I just deny his access into my life, because Christ paid for that. And he freed me. And when he set us free, God opened my eyes and said, you're really free. When I said you're free, you're free. And I believed him. But I was in the position that I would have fought hard to retain my right to fight demons and devils and all the evil that's in the world. And I found that I kept fighting the same battle over and over, and I got tired of that. Yeah. And God showed me a better way. And that's what I call the message of freedom. And it really changed my life. And you've talked about how it's impacted you, the change that it's brought into your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And why? Well, I think you questioned, as I did, what I had believed, what I was really convicted in. Is this good versus evil, and is it really right? Is it really that kind of a world that we live in? Or in the midst of all that, is there something better, something more, something different?
Yeah, the only way I think I would even approach the idea of good versus evil today would be to say that there are people who do acts that you couldn't describe other than evil. People
Absolutely.
Do horrendous things. But the idea that it's like good can go after evil, but evil can't go after good.
Right.
And what's fascinating to me is you look at, you know, in Colossians, where it talks about Jesus disarming through his being through his crucifixion, disarming the powers of darkness and making a display of them.
Yeah.
You know, so if they're disarmed, they're disarmed.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating is that we still tend to think of that, or as I did for a while, I think that, okay, but before that, they were still there was still evil as this force, this demonic force, still doing elemental physical destruction in the world against good people. But if you look back into the Old Testament, that's really not the case. I mean, Proverbs talks about those who do right. No evil shall befall the righteous.
Right.
If you do good, good will follow you. If you do evil, evil will follow you. Yeah. So it's kind of like you would think that completely before Jesus even manifests, you would think, okay, the good people, then the evil is going to follow them. And if you're doing evil, they're going to leave them alone.
Yeah.
But that's not the model that we see even in the Old Testament.
And that is the way I think both of us were raised in the church. If you do good, you're going to suffer evil.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a sinner, the devil already has you, so he's not going to bother you much. You know, and at some point in time, a lot of people say, man, I don't want to, you know, I've heard people say, I don't want to believe too right and do too good because I just don't want another attack from the devil. I used to believe that way. Man, I do good. I'm thankful that I can do good, but now I'm looking forward to an attack. Well, and I experienced it, because according to your faith, be it unto you. I mean, the church world, the world has created a lot of evil based upon their faith. And again, I don't deny the existence of evil, but we can deny its access into our lives if we will do what God said. He said he would guide us, he would lead us, he would protect us. No evil will befall the righteous. 1,000 will fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you've set your affections on him. You know, when the church world, as well as the non-believing world, is believing evil's going to happen every day of our lives, I mean, you know, it's kind of a given. We are looking for evil around every corner. And I did that, and I experienced that. But when God changed my mind and showed me that no evil would come nigh me. You say, well, you've never had anything bad happen. I never said that. I've had a lot of things that look like it was really bad. But I believed God, and he every single time turned it out to be something incredible. It wasn't God just coming to my aid and going, oh, let's see, this went really awry. How can we fix it? The word says from the foundation of the world, he prepared Christ and he chose and called us to walk in him and to walk in the fullness of who he is. But it's like that vine going down deep and saying, you know what, there's water. It looks like there's nothing but dry soil and death here, but all I'm going to do is go a little deeper. And it's really about just going a little deeper and saying, is there something more than just good versus evil? I mean, can we really live a life that's blessed and see God around every corner instead of a devil around every corner? I mean, is it more than it's just so hard to serve God and so evil to fall back into sin? I mean, and then you wonder why the world falls back into sin. I mean, it's kind of the belief system. It's the way, as believers, what have we chosen to believe? God is God. He reigns and rules.
And I think some of it comes from, again, just bad interpretation of some of those even Old Testament foundations. I think of the story of Job. And so if Job, who is the most righteous man that ever lived, if Satan's coming after him, of course he's going to be coming after me. But then you actually read the book of Job. And
unless I'm just not so righteous.
Right. Unless I'm just not so righteous.
Maybe you'll just come a little bit after me then.
Totally. And then you read the book of Job and you go, oh, wait, you know, we're taught that Satan comes and goes to God and says, hey, what about your servant Job? And that's not exactly at all what happens. It's God says to Satan, have you thought of my servant Job? And Satan's like, no, basically.
Well, you know, if you read Job, you hear that there was, you know, God in his grace and mercy called out a righteousness in Job that at the climax of the scriptures, you go, oh, Job had some pride going on here, had a little bit of arrogance and maybe self-entitlement going on here. So how gracious of God to say, have you considered my servant Job? But you read and see where the word says, and God did this. What did God do? Did God cause evil? No, God showed Job where the evil doors, the evil gates of entry existed in his life, and God shut those doors for him so he could be increased double and more and see the glory and the blessing of God. It was really God's hand of provision, God showing him there's a better way than you have believed, similar to what God has done in both of our lives.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I love God from when I got saved, and I believe the Lord for the best, but I was taught that really there was this world. You're going to get hammered by the devil, and you better stand up and fight. And then I found, when I found freedom in Christ, that people would fight vehemently to maintain their order and their right to fight evil and the devil. And it is going to happen. And I thought, if there is a better way, if there really is a freedom from death, hell, and the grave, wouldn't you like to believe that? Because I would. And it really is about being indoctrinated and not being open-minded to ask the question, is that really what the Word says? Holy Spirit, teach me the truth.
Yeah.
Teach me. Is God the only God? Is Satan omnipresent? Or is only God God? And God is, only God is God. You know, and you think about evil, think about the devil, because what it really comes down to, Steve, you and I both know, the devil did it. You know, the devil is the one that's doing this. He's making people evil. Jesus addressed people over and over and said, it's because of your hardness of heart. It's because of your unwillingness to believe the Word of God. It's because you want to rule, your arrogance, your pride. You want to be in charge. And that's really where evil comes from. And I ask people, I've said this many times, well, if it's a devil that does the evil, who tempted the devil to make him evil? Was there a devil before him? You know, and before him, what is a devil? Someone that rejected God and made himself God.
Yeah.
And how many people have done that? I mean, you don't really need a devil to create evil in the world. But if we share completely, totally, and with conviction the love of the Father and the belief that God is God and God alone, what if minds began to change and people began, believers began to look for Christ around every corner and the hand of God in every event instead of out there swinging swords at shadows? You know,
yeah,
I mean, what banishes darkness? Turning on the light. It's pretty simple. And for me, God taught me to turn the light on. And I stopped looking for demons a long time ago. And guess what? I haven't seen a demon in a long time. I know they fled at the word of God. I know they've left people by the spoken word of God. I know people's minds that were influenced by the same attitude of demons, meaning doubt, disobedience, hatred, and all those things that cause the same actions of devils and demons, left them when they heard the word of truth. Just like if you were to shine the light in a dark room, the darkness vanishes. It's not really a big fight. It really is an illumination, and a different world shows up. So no, I don't believe that we live in a world where God is sitting there watching, saying, no, let's see if evil triumphs or good. Oh, wait, I'm having a little bit of trouble here. I don't, God is God. He's not wrestling against evil. He's sharing the light of truth and life and asking people to believe his word, to be free. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. I believe in a world blessed of God, like God did from the beginning. I believe God has chosen his people. I believe the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. And it's a foundation that I've stood on, regardless of what takes place. And it makes it a lot brighter, a lot more vivid world where you see God. And I haven't seen a devil around the corner since I started believing God. I haven't woken up in the middle of the night and went, was that a spirit? Was that a demon? But I have awakened many times and thought, I think God's in the room.
Yeah.
And that's a lot better experience.
Absolutely. It goes beyond just some making sure you have the right theology about it, doesn't it? Because it can affect, if you're experiencing something and your mindset is to fix the blame on the devil, then you are not necessarily experiencing the point and the purpose of what you're even going through, are you?
You forfeit the learning curve.
Yeah.
So if it's the devil's fault, but in reality, God's saying, I need you to see some things because I want to change some things in how you feel, how you think, how you act. And it seems like a struggle to us. You know, something happens in your life. Well, it's the devil. Then you never repent because it's not your fault. It's the devil. And think of a world that is void of repentance, even in the church, because it's always the devil. I wonder how many times the church world has blamed the devil for something God was doing. You know, Job, at the end, he just acknowledged your God, and only you were just, mm-hmm. and only you were righteous. And what was God's response? Because you have the right attitude, I'll restore you. I'll double you. And your testimony will be God is God, and only God is God. And God was in control from start to finish, and he was simply calling me to a mind surrender to who he is, to know him for who he is, not to know evil, but to know good, yeah. to know God, to know his righteousness. I mean, we live in a world of today that's looked at as such a calamitous place, and in many regards, absolutely it is. But if we believe differently, even just the body would believe differently and start saying, God's doing something. I'm not going to chase demons and spirits and shadows. I'm going to chase the kingdom of God. I'm going to have a heart after the things of God. I'm going to focus my mind on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How different would if you just change the way you perceive the world to be, and your faith was to exalt God in all things, and regardless, and we've all had challenges, regardless, say, God's in the middle of this. God's doing something. How different could our world be? And you know what? I believe we're about to experience that, because I am fully committed to carrying that message and telling people there's only one God. Seek him, love him. There's only one Christ, Lord and Savior, and he's for you, not against you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? And my answer is no one, no thing.
We've talked about this, I think we've touched on it in some previous podcasts, but that idea then is if the devil is this active, agent fighting against the kingdom of God, and then people become his agents. And so then people become the enemy of the church because they might be the hand or the tools of the devil. And so then we see people that we're meant to introduce and woo to the kingdom of God, and we see them as enemy soldiers, enemy combatants, yeah. in which case, you know what? They've made their choice, and I don't need to bother with them. They're the bad guy.
Yeah.
And we end up with a world that's super divided and everybody hating each other.
And there you go. That division, because we just can't see past the evil to see the uniting, to see the unity. And the word says, till we all come into the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, everyone isn't going to believe, but we should live like everyone is going to believe, whether they do or not.
Yeah.
Because if you take the alternative mindset, then everyone's evil. Everyone's out to get you, and the devil's in and around and through everything. And there's no way to move forward in a positive, enlightened, justified world if even believer's perspective is, you know, every time I do good, evil's there to stop me. What about just blaming God for everything? And what I mean by this is God is doing something. Instead of, well, the devil did this, even if it looks just bad, God's doing something. He's going to awake, like he did Job. He's going to awaken somebody. He's going to shake the minds of a generation. Gideon, there's a lot of men after him, and he has about 32,000 men, and it's still not enough. There's a vast army to destroy him. And God's saying, listen, it really isn't about your strong arm. It isn't about how you fight. Again, it's how well you believe.
Yeah.
I don't need your strength. I don't need you to do it. And this is Old Testament. What about New Testament? Can we acknowledge and stay there that Jesus Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave, and that he overcame all the principalities and the powers of darkness, made a display of them openly on the cross, and said, look, here's victory. Can we acknowledge that God's given me the victory? The scripture said to David, God spoke to David, and he said, I'm going to give you a son, and your son's going to say, God's given me rest on every hand. I have neither adversary nor evil occurrence. Can we acknowledge the fact that God would give you the victory? That God is God in all things,
sovereign over all.
Overall, and if we start believing, can we be more unified? If we stop saying that's evil and that's good, and we just say, you know, whether they're doing evil or not, how do we love those that do us wrong, those that speak ill against us? I mean, what kind of mindset is that? How do we ever get there? If you're evil and you're the devil and you need to be rebuked and cast out, Jesus came in and he just loved. He said, when they hung him on a cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he destroyed all the principalities and the powers of darkness, what was he doing literally? Was he taking demons and devils and just crushing them? Well, Jesus said he had already cast him out. Wasn't he really cleansing our consciousness from a devil-minded mentality, from an evil consciousness, purging our consciousness so we could serve the true and living God?
The only way the devil could have ever affected anyone to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, didn't God bring Job into a place where he needed to be? Didn't God give everyone the victory when they bowed their knee and acknowledged you were God, you were Lord? Even Nebuchadnezzar, king, God gives him word and he continues to disobey. And I'm like, man, how many times? You know, how many times are you going to reject the God that's done wonders in your life and sent a prophet to speak to you? But at one point, he's bowed down. So will we say the devil did it to him? Well, I'd say the devil in him, his own devil, not the devil, chose to be a devil. What was that? His disobedience and rejection to the will of God. He wanted to be God himself. And at one point, he had to raise his eyes up and say, God does rule. The heavens rule. God is God, and God restored him to authority and power. Could that happen to us? If that was Old Testament and it happened then, what about New Testament today?
And look, the specifics of his declaration just blow me away. I mean, I don't have it memorized, but he was basically, you are God over everything. You have your way in all things. There's nothing in heaven or in earth that does what it wants outside of your sovereign purpose and will.
Yeah.
So he was in the state of being a beast who then was restored back to kingship because he acknowledged that there is only God that's in control of anything, that there's no other power that God is even having to war or contend with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Gideon, just believe me. You know, let's just take them down to where you have just a handful of men and go. And I'm not even telling you right now to sling a stone or shoot an arrow. Just blow a trumpet and crack a pot and let the light shine.
Yeah.
And watch chaos destroy itself. I mean, couldn't that be possible today if we really, the church, what if the church was responsible for so much of the negative that's going on because we believe in it so strong? We believe so strongly that the devil is out there trying to destroy our world instead of believing God has lit the way before us and he's leading me in the way that I should go. He will light my path and he will lead me. No evil will come nigh me. What if the church just kind of woke up one day and said, hey, I know there's a lot of evil going on, but what if it's self-induced? What if the church would stand up and acknowledge God and stop acknowledging what the devil's trying to do and evil's trying to do and stop screaming at the evil this and the evil that and just made the difference that makes a difference in the dark, became a light. Yeah. I mean, started loving, dropped the religious hatred and the anxiety and the warfare. And start warfaring, war, violently seek the kingdom of God.
Yeah, the war of love.
Exactly. You know, and the war of faith and trust in God. God, you're for me. And what example are people going to see if the church is in the middle of chaos and fighting as well? And fight among ourselves because we just, you know, when you're so determined that there's evil out there, that's what you see, and you see it in everybody. Yeah. You see it in people. So there's anxiety in the church because there's so much evil and so much devil and demon and darkness in the world. We see it in each other, and we're upset. We're quickly and easily offended at one another. We're quick to jump on, someone does something wrong, God forbid that we have the grace to forgive and restore them and even keep it to yourself. No, you go and you spread it, you jump on the bandwagon, everybody's ready. This is the church. Well, how are we going to change the world just because we shout, Jesus is coming, you know, and the devil is in the kingdom of, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here now. Let's walk in the power and the influence of the kingdom. How different could the world be if believers would do one thing, drop the chants at the devil and start singing the praises of our God? Stop believing that evil is there to take you out and believe only God is there to take you in.
Yeah.
I just think it'd be such a different place to live in.
Yeah, if nobody can rob us of anything, if nobody can hinder us from whatever God wants, then nobody's an obstacle. And we see people as people, and we can love them the way Jesus did.
And we feel like we got to fight for it. Jesus said, if they take your coat, give them your cloak also.
Yeah.
You know, if they hit you on one side, offer them the other. Doesn't mean God wants you to go around there and say, hey, someone want to hit me? You know, anyone want to get out a little animosity? What he's saying is, listen, you're going about this all wrong. There's power in surrender, by faith that I'm God, I'll fight for you. I'll raise up, I'll change hearts, I'll change minds, I'll do a work you can't do. Hey, Steve, it hasn't worked in all the years we've been doing it this way.
No.
In all the fighting, the swinging, the screaming, it's certainly not getting any better. So something tells me if you're doing, trying to do right, and it's so hard and it's not working, you're doing right wrong, right? Let's do it. Let's look at it from a different perspective. How about we just worship God as he's really God? He's Lord over it all, and he doesn't throw his children out as bait for sharks.
Yeah.
You know, he really is with us, and he'll keep us, he'll lead, he'll guide, he'll protect us. And how about we say, you know, there's not a chance Satan's doing anything in my life. He couldn't touch me. He can't cross the bloodline of Christ. I'm on the other side of that. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And no darkness can enter into the light, and I walk in the light. That's who I am. That's who God has made me to be. It changed my world. It changed your world. And countless people that have heard, received, and believed that, you know what, I'm never going to give devil credit. Even if he did do it, I don't want him to have the credit for it. Because the only thing, if he wants, the only thing that he really wants is what he wanted from the beginning, attention.
Yeah, going full circle back to Job, let's say Job doesn't know either way. Job thinks the devil did it, which we know he didn't. But Job just says, you know, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I'll return, blessed be the name of the Lord. He never put blame anywhere.
Of the Lord. That's pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
Whatever, blessed be the name of the Lord. God, you're doing something. And when you stop seeing demons and you start seeing God in place of them, you'll see God in place of them, and things will take place that couldn't take place because of doubt and unbelief and fear and all that it brings into every individual's lives. We can be a lot more unified, and we can walk in a lot more unity. You know, I find that in our body and our friends, certainly not that there aren't people that challenge that, but there's certainly a lot of unity, a lot of love, and a lot more vision for great things to take place. Mm. Instead of wondering what bad is going to happen next. And it really prepares you, you know, prepare to build your house on a sure foundation, not on one that's crumbling, and your house will stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I guess we are probably at the end. I have no idea how long we've been here.
We've been good. This is a good length. We're doing well.
You know, I know we try to keep it within a respectable amount of time, whatever that is, but I'm just so thankful for the freedom that God gives us through his word and the constant insight and revelation that never ends that God gives us. And I want to pray for the body today that God would do a work in you that would transform your mind beyond any religion, any teaching that man can do, and not by might or by power, but by the Holy Spirit. God would open your eyes to see, your ears to hear. If you feel like all hell is broken loose against you, I pray that God will open your eyes and you'll see the sovereign hand of God doing wonders in your life, and God will show you exactly how he wants you to think, exactly what's really taking place, because God would never throw his children out in a world or in an ocean filled with sharks as bait for a predator, but God puts you in position to reign and rule in Christ Jesus. And I pray God do a wonder in your life. God show you a revelation. The Spirit of God fill you, saturate you, baptize you in the blessing and favor of God. And God show you that this is the greatest season of your life. Until next time, God bless, and we'll see you then.